Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Who wouldn't?
Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. With the spot, the place. Well, not really. We're in Tasmania. The conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today, we've got Sarah Norris. I love that region of the world down there, down under. Tasmania gives me goose pimples, though. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my experience as I flew over on my way to Australia. But in the meantime, in between time, we are going to deal with this hairstylist and spiritual alchemist. She does essential oils, astrology, but heart-centered work, you know, so that she can get clear. And she starts right here at your hair, you know, at your hairline. Your hairstylist, let me tell you, she's better than a therapist. You tell them everything, but they also help you work through a lot as well. She's going to help us work through some today. So welcome to the show all the way from Tasmania.
Thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
What does it feel like living in Tasmania? I mean, I guess, I don't know if you've lived anywhere else, but it's a small island. It's got a certain vibe, a certain energy, a certain history. But tell me a little bit about your experience living there. What's that like?
I love it. I have lived overseas briefly. I went on exchange when I was 17 for 3 months in Austria, and that was beautiful as well. But I really love how anywhere in Tasmania you can go somewhere rural, somewhere out in nature. Where I live, we're really close to a lot of different beaches, and I love that. Being close to nature just helps me to ground and get back into myself.
Well, you were born and raised there?
Yeah.
I had a certain vibe, and I'll share that with you. I was extremely emotional. When I flew over Tasmania, you know how you look in the back of the headset of the airlines and you can track? An energy came over me. Spirits came over me of the people that had been enslaved, imprisoned, killed.
Well, you just gave me chills.
Yeah. It was, I'm telling you, I freaked out. And I was like, what is this? And I was just kind of paying attention, but I'm very intuitive too. Not too empathic. You know, I kind of shield other people's stuff. I ain't trying to carry that. But I could feel this energy, the same energy I felt when I went, came from under the subway, 9/11. Spirits just attached to me. And I was wondering, you know, what is this all about? It's a very spiritual place there. Is that spirituality and that connection with nature still very prominent among the people that live there?
With some people, yes. There's a bit of you would feel it too, like a bit of a split with people. With some people are staying connected to nature and other people just seem to be connecting off somewhere else. Tasmania does have a pretty dark history. When the settlers came, they basically massacred the Indigenous people of Tasmania. And that energy and the spirits are definitely still connected here. Yeah.
Is it like a reconciliation, or are people still separate?
I think there's a lot of separate.
Yeah. That's going on a lot in the world. What do you think, Sarah, we can do to unify the love of humanity? You know, we don't have any choice of the color of our skin. Our creator has decided that for us. Our social and economics, we can do something about that. But our children, what are we pouring into them about being decent human beings and respecting one another and the earth? What do you think we can do?
Honestly, I think we just need to connect back to ourselves and back to nature again. It's probably the biggest thing we can do, is learn to connect to ourselves and try not to fall into all the social conditioning that's all around us. It's everywhere at the moment, especially. It's rampant, like on social media, in politics, everywhere.
I call it politics. I don't call it politics. Everybody's tricking you up. Everybody's got some trickery, you know, and nobody's telling the truth. They're doing whatever it is. They're creating their narrative. But what you do is you are able to gaze into the stars. How did you get into astrology?
I've always been interested, but I didn't, I suppose, in 2020, when everyone had a bit of time to rethink what they were doing with their lives, I had an opportunity to sit back and find an astrology teacher, and I started studying with her, and that was it. And I was hooked, loved it. And that's, when I started formally studying.
How does that, looking into the stars, how does that help us facilitate, navigate? Because sometimes people will say, oh, this is, you know, this is witchery. This is, you're dealing with the unknown, you know, Christians. I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
And they will steer you away from that. But I think that it is a compass.
I'd say it's another tool. It's another way of figuring out what lessons you need to learn to grow on your journey. I don't think it doesn't matter what way you do it, as long as you're doing it, as long as you're making the effort to grow and learn and become a better person.
And not be afraid. Thing.
Yeah.
I mean, fear is when you wake up in the morning, you don't know what lies ahead of you once you step outside that door. Once your feet hit the floor, you know, instead of entering it with grace and gratitude and curiosity and respect, if you use those four key elements, I think that you would be guided in the right direction. So you're also a hair stylist.
Yeah.
All right. So what is going on with the hair? Now, as I said in the introduction, you know, the hairstylist is like a therapist. You know, everything from, girl, I done bounced a check, to he's cheating on me, to I'm cheating on him. So you hear everything, and you have to be a confidant. But again, with your insight and your intuitiveness, how do you support your clients from the head down?
Oh, I suppose I'm really good at picking out what people want with their hair. Like, you know, when someone says something to you, but they mean something else, I kind of, you know, I'm pretty in tune to knowing when that's happening, which is really good, because that, you know, the consultation is probably where most mistakes happen. So one person's thinking one thing, one person's thinking another thing, and and then, you know, what the client wanted and what the hair they've got are not the same. So I'm good at picking that out. But I suppose, like, also good at reading whether someone doesn't want to talk that much today, or if they just need space, or if they want to have a bit of a joke and a laugh.
But it's very relaxing. Can you do a good shampoo? Girl, I tip extra. If you shampoo my hair really good and you give me an ice cold rinse, honey, you got a $20 tip coming for sure. Is there a lot of diversity in the hair? You know, it's strange here in California. We had to go and get legislation from the politricians to wear our natural hair. We couldn't go in there with dreads or braids, or, you know, HR would call you in and ask you to change your hairstyle to conform to their standards, which is the white standard of straight hair or whatever that is. But now you can have pink hair, blue hair, green hair, all this kind of stuff. But people don't want you to have dreads. They don't want you to have braids. They don't want you to have all these other things. What is the hair climate there? Do they even care?
Yeah, there is one hairstyle in particular that is banned in schools, in a lot of schools. Do you know much about the mullet?
Mullet.
So it's a hairstyle. If you Google Australian rules football, you'll see heaps of them. And this is one of my favorite hairstyles to do. It's basically really short and neat at the front, and then just long at the back, just completely messy and long at the back. And that hairstyle basically it became associated with people behaving poorly or badly or being rough or not respecting authority. And so that hairstyle has had a bit of a rough time, but
I noticed a lot of white Australians do bubble dreads, and that's where their hair is not, you know, bubble dreads.
I do know what they are. I don't know how to do them.
Well, you know what? And I say this with respect, neither do the people that wear them. It looks like their hair is just matted together. Yeah. There's no structure, any of this. Now, the original dreadlocks from Jamaica is a sign of unity with God, because no two people's hair will dread the same.
Yeah.
But they take great care in that. You know, they wash them, they oil them, they twist them. But these bubble dreads, I don't even know how they, it's just like the hair is matted together. But again, I don't know if that's a spiritual thing. I don't know if it's a lazy thing, a hippie thing. I have no idea of what that is. So when you get some information on those bubble dreads there in Australia and Tasmania, you hook a sister up and you let me know. And if they need any kind of hair care products to get it going right, you let me know and I'll send it right to you. You're the mother of two.
Yeah.
What are you putting into those little brains? What are you doing as a mom to just really kind of structure them, love them, mentor them, and direct them in the right way?
Oh, I'm just trying to be as open and honest with them as I can. And just being aware of my own triggers that come up if they talk back to me or something like that. Just trying to be trying to zoom out when I'm starting to feel like I'm being a bit reactive or something like that. That's the hardest thing. They're 4 and 6, so they're right in that, you know, they're pushing the boundaries age.
Sure, they are, but they're trying to find their way too, and they want discipline, you know, they want discipline. But what I like to do when I had little ones like that, only had one, but had a little one like that, is psychologically challenge them, let them know that there's consequences to their actions. I had one mother that was on my show a few weeks ago, and she was an unruler unschooler.
Yeah.
I told her, I said, they're going to have you tied up in the corner with a ball in your mouth. I mean, she didn't require them to go to school, to, you know, wear shoes, to shower, to comb their hair, to brush their teeth. That's a challenge because they have to blend into society. They have to be an independent contributor. Schooling is a challenge now, especially after COVID. Do your kids go to a regular school or do you homeschool them?
They go to a regular school and they love it, really. They love
it.
Are
they protective over one another?
Yeah, they are.
It's good.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of problems that happen too. Now, you are a survivor of domestic violence, and not kind of going into that too much, but was that your kid's dad?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what was your aha moment? You said, you know, I'm not taking this joker no more. I'm out of here.
When I found out I was pregnant with the second one, with my little one, Miller, that really, that was the thing that really cracked me open into thinking, I just can't keep living like this. I've got a baby, I'm pregnant, I need to look after myself. And that, so.
What would you say to a woman that's in that situation right now that, you know, is wanting to break through, but feels that they don't have any options, they don't have any choices, they don't have any support, there's nobody they can trust? What would you say to her?
Oh, you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. Definitely.
Did you have support? Did you have, you know, friends and family that you could turn to? Or were you keeping the secret?
Oh, well, a lot of people that I did tell thought that I was crazy because he was very, you know, charming, easy to get along with kind of person to them. So that was really hard because I had people going, oh, Sarah's, you know, something's going on with her. Maybe she's got postnatal depression. But I had a couple of friends who witnessed the behaviour. So they were, you know, they were there 100%. And my parents didn't witness it, but they had my back as well. So, and my brothers, I've got two lovely brothers as well. So I did have good support.
That's good. So, as you move forward, you had insight. You had the tarot. You had oil blends. You had astrology. Why were you hesitant to follow the instruction of your guidance for so long? What kept you there?
Honestly, I think I was worried about what people would think. Worried about being judged and
Wow. Well, take that off the list, brains. You got to feel the fear and do it anyway, and don't give a damn what somebody else thinks. It's your journey. Your responsibility is to put your hat on, get with a good hairdresser, and work on your thinking cap. That's what is important. Personal strength and empowerment is very important to you. How did you gain the courage to jump into that space? It's one thing to be victimized or to be a people pleaser. It's another thing to try to find a direction. But it's a totally different course of action to say that you are able to empower others, because empowerment is something that comes from within. How are you able to ignite that in the people that you work with?
Well, in my readings, one of the biggest things that I say is like, I'm here to support you. I'm here to hold space for you. And looking at the cards or looking at the astrological chart, help them define their gifts. So whatever comes up in the cards or in the chart will usually ignite something or remind someone of something that they're good at or they've always loved, and that, and then they generally will be able to work with that and find what empowers them.
In your bio, you use the word witch.
Yeah.
Witch, as I said, look, it lights you up. Whoa. It has always gotten a negative connotation, but it holds power.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't have to be negative. They say there's a white witch and there is, you know, the dark side of witchery. But just that whole word within itself shows a certain feminine energy, a certain power, control, mysticism, going into another realm. Why do you choose to associate yourself as a witch?
Well, I suppose it seemed like the best word to describe everything that I do. Like I change someone's appearance with magic and, you know, and potions. And I do use divination tools to tap into, you know, other dimensions to help people to access their higher self. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think that using the word witch and using it with that positive spin on it will hopefully help to change the stigma behind the word, because it is that, you know, that powerful feminine energy that we really need to be supporting at this time, really, rather than demonizing it and putting it down.
I see so many women grab hold to that, but you don't hear a lot of men call themselves a warlock.
No.
Do you? I mean, you know, they'll say that they are, you know, a shaman or a guru or a god. They won't say that they're a warlock. And there are a lot of them out there, you know, or being under the influence of that. There's a lot of people now that are going into psychedelics. And I'm not saying that that's you. Alternate states, alternate trance states, transcendental meditation, all of that. And their feet are not planted on the ground. I think that they are trying to escape. What would you say to a person that's just, you know, just tripping right now, just on it, just to be on it, but no sense of direction? How do they pull themselves back?
I suppose they've got to just get in and do some self-work. I mean, you can't really, I think the term is spiritual bypassing. Like, you think that you're connected to these higher realms and different states of being and levels and awareness, but you're not really connected to yourself. You're sort of working more with the higher mind without having integrated your lower mind as well. There's got to be a mix of the lot.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. Here, I went to another place because I'm always doing something, as if you can't tell. I went to a shop. It was a voodoo shop.
Yeah.
In New Orleans. The energy from the outside drew me in like a magnet. There was no denying it. And Mr. Magnificent, my husband, baby, you sure you want to go in there? You know, you might be forever changed. And I was forever changed because I got an education.
Yeah.
I got an education on indigenous people. I got an education on tribal people. I got an education on slaves, the slave trade. And so I relate to that. And I have a newfound appreciation for that word, like I have a new now appreciation for the word witch. I won't be so quick to not judge, but second guess, because that's my boundary. And I have strong boundaries. You know, if it don't feel right, smell right, taste right, it's out. Have you established new boundaries for yourself? Do you think you make better choices? You know, when you pick a suitor, someone that you're going to bring around your children, that you're going to bring into your astrological space, that you're going to bring into your heart, are you able to make those better choices now?
Absolutely. After being through what I've been through and learning that my boundaries were quite flaky, I wasn't sending out a clear message of what I was willing to accept and what I wasn't. I didn't have a clear sense of what I wanted. And once I, you know, we can always work on our boundaries and things change. So your boundaries might change as well, but definitely a much better sense of that now.
So let's ask some fun questions, because we done went all deep and metaphysical and energy and all that kind of stuff. What planet are you from? You know, you're in the astrology. What planet are you from?
I don't know. I suppose like my ruling planet is on your chart, looking at your chart. Your ruling planet's the ruler of your rising sign, which is Gemini for me. So that'd be Mercury. So I suppose that would be, I don't know, where I'm from. if I had to pick one.
I'm from Jupiter. I dig all the rings. Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know? Luck and fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not easy to penetrate. and there's always something going on. It's a lot of colors. It's a lot of energy. It's a lot of force.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not Earth. I'm not Earth.
Yeah.
If you were an appliance in the cotton picking kitchen, what appliance would you be, Sarah Norris?
Oh, I reckon it'd be a Thermomix.
Oh, okay. So a Thermomix brains is equal to our Vitamix. So that's one of those blenders that you can do cold things or warm things in it. Right. Okay.
Yeah. You can do everything.
Okay. Why would you be that?
Because I do so many different things.
Mm. I'd be the refrigerator. I just want to chill. And if it gets, you know, if it gets too bad, I'll just put you in the freezer. If you had three magical wishes, anything, what would they be?
Oh, I've always wanted this since I was a little kid. I'd love to be able to fly. That has always been a wish that'd be really cool. I'd love that. Actually, I don't know. I might have to pause and edit out this bit.
No, that's that. You know what? Because what I appreciate is the fact that you put thought into it.
Hmm.
Some people already have their wishes there.
Yeah. Oh, the first one was easy, but yeah. I don't know. I'm pretty happy.
So think about it and come back and let me know. If you were a flower in the garden, what flower would you be?
Oh, I'd be just trying to think of, we don't really have many in our garden at the moment.
Well, maybe it's time to get the kids out there and do some planting.
It is
some blooming. And I mean, you could be a plant. You could be, you could be a flower, but as long as we're rooted, and I think that's what's important.
Yeah.
As long as we cultivate the soil, as long as we rise, as long as we bloom, and as long as we share the seeds and the pollination of life, that's the most important thing. If you were a car, what kind of car would you be?
I would. Oh. Probably
I know you're thinking, well, what the hell?
Oh God, I was thinking probably my little Yaris. It's just polite and just.
That's cool. I want to be a 1974 VW van.
See, that sounds cool.
All hippie out, with a mattress in the back. Traveling across. I know a lot of people there in Australia do caravanning. They like to travel in vans and Australia, Tasmania and all that. They like to go around to the different beaches. When you ground yourself, what do you do to really connect back with the earth? Because you're carrying a lot of energy. You're dealing with, people's hair. People are very, very attached to their hair. Their hair tells their story.
Yeah.
And what grounds you?
Getting back out into nature. And I've figured out what car I'd be now. I would be, my partner has a cruiser, this cruiser that's pretty much unbreakable. And we went away in that on last week. We had some time without children and we took off for 3 nights just into the wilderness, and we went full driving and we broke a bit of the car, but luckily it kept going.
Adventure.
Yeah.
It's exploring. It's exploring with your partner when you break down.
Yeah.
When your car breaks down, does everything break down or do we just sit here and try to figure it out?
Yeah.
Come together. So that was a great experience. That was a learning experience. Intolerance and discipline. So I totally get that. Yeah. So what do you want your legacy to be, Sarah Norris? How do you want to be remembered and thought of, sought after in this thing called life?
Well, I hope that I'd inspire people to put work into growing as people and being and working on being better people and bringing positivity into the world and making people feel good as well, like especially with hairdressing.
Okay. Well, I have enjoyed this conversation with you so much. I like to get in your head, and that's what I think I did. You are beautiful. You're young. You're vivacious. You have a sense of direction. You got astrology. You got a compass. Follow your North Star, okay?
Thank you.
Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, work with you, get their hair done, and get them some dreads or a mullet.
Well, so if you're in Tasmania, I work for myself. So if you want to contact me on Instagram, on Facebook, I'm called The Hair and Spirit Alchemist. And I have a website that's under construction, but that does have a link to my email as well. And that is www.sarah-norris.com.au. So that will be up and running soon, which is cool.
Okay. And so if they want to get, they want to get down and dirty with some astrology and try to figure out what's going on. Is there tarot? You do tarot as well?
Yeah. Astrology, an astrology reading, a tarot reading, and an essential oil blend that's tailor-made for you, I can do.
Wow, an essential oil blend, brains. We just had an herbalist on the show. Actually, I need to turn you on to her. You might know her. She's in Tasmania too.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, she was like, she's got the blends for you.
Yeah.
So you gotta see what that is. And topicals, again, are very powerful. The skin is the largest organ on the body. And to be able to put something on you that penetrates, but you want to be careful because herbs are very powerful as well. I tell the story all the time how I got some herbs from China, girl, and I came back, I was hallucinating. I mean, I was tripping. So you got to be careful about what you do and how you consume, but what you put in this thing, this vessel, this temple that you call a body. Thank you so much for being here. Brains, go ahead and handle your business. Get your hair done. Get your cards read. Get your astrological sign read. And like, love, and share this podcast and others on the edge. Go to LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, yada, yada. I can sing them to you, okay? But I need you to do that for me. Thank you so much, Sarah Norris. You are a queen.
Thank you so much.
Or should I say, you're a witch. Bye, Brains.